Ah, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the things that you're doing that we don't even see or realize. Thank you for the things you're doing in us and through us. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Psalm 23, this is a psalm that is one of the most popular and it's one of the most quoted passages in the entire Bible. And we've spent the last couple of weeks looking at the details of Psalm 23. And we've been looking specifically at some of the specific words and phrases and the deeper meaning that's in those individual words and phrases and the encouragement that is there in those words, in the strength that is for us, but also for the guidance that is there in those words, those brief six verses of that chapter. Now, one of the things we've realized is that Psalm 23 is about, it's a lesson on how to get to the destination that God has for us. We saw that verse number one is the starting location. And the starting point is allowing the Good Shepherd, Jesus, to lead us into each day. And we saw that the final destination is in verse six. And that final destination of verse number six, that is letting God take us to the place where we are dwelling with Him all the days of this life, but dwelling with Him for eternity as well. And then we saw the verses in between, verses 2 through 5. Those are the verses that show us the path that God leads us on to get us to that destination. Now, last week we looked at verse number 4 in specific. And last week we saw that we should not despise the days of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Instead, we should cherish the pathway that leads us to dwelling with God. We should cherish the growth that only comes by walking through the valleys with our Lord Jesus Christ. So with all that, let's look again at Psalm 23. Let's read it together. You know, when you read, this is one of the things we'll talk about on this Thursday. There's something about when you read the Word of God, when you read it out loud, when you read it and speak it, you are taking possession of it yourself. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now this morning I want to focus on verse number 5. And I really want to focus on just, let's look at verse number 5. I really want to focus on that first phrase in verse number 5. And it says to us, you prepare a table before me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now we've already seen that the days of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that represents the times of struggle that we have in our daily lives. We know that in the Bible, all the times that we see valleys are where the battle always winds up taking place. So we know that walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that's the times of struggle. It's the valley days that we have. But if we will allow the Good Shepherd to take us by the hand and lead us into the day, He will lead us through the valley to all of the blessings and all of the victories that are on the other side of the valley. But now here we see in verse number 5, now we see that He has prepared a table for us in those valley days. He's prepared a table for us so that we can sit down with God even in those valley days of struggle. We can sit down with God and the world will see how faithful and the world will see the tender care of the shepherd for His sheep. That's what the world will see. Now we've also seen as we've been going through these verses, we've seen that the message of Psalm 23 becomes much more clear for us if we look at it and read it with the understanding and knowledge of the land of Israel. And this is one of the great passions for me about taking people to Israel. When you can see the land, you can better understand what the verses are saying and speaking to us. So David, he shepherded his sheep in the Judean hills around Bethlehem. Well, those Judean hills, they are barren, they're isolated, and they are really inhospitable. So this is a picture that I had for you just to give you a sense of what that's like, what this looks like. Just for being totally open, that's not really David, okay? I don't know who that guy is. But it kind of gives you an idea of just how stark that region is. So David understood when he wrote this, he had an understanding. He knew the people who were reading it would understand the imagery that he was speaking about. And so for David, the picture of a table being set in the midst of the wilderness, being set in the midst of a place that was inhospitable, that had significance for David as a shepherd. And here's why. Because from the time before David up until this present day, you're talking 3,000 years, there's a people that live and dwell in this perilous region. They're known as the Bedouins. And I got a picture here of just, this is a people that for generations have lived there. They live in tents. They're nomadic. They just follow their herds throughout the desert. So the Bedouins, for thousands of years, the Bedouins have lived by what's called the rules of hospitality. Because when you're in a desert region, there's not a lot of habitation. Habitation is very sparse. There's not a lot of people living out there. So if there's an individual who is roaming through that area by themselves, they are in the presence of many different kinds of dangers. So the Bedouin rules of hospitality demand that if you're a Bedouin dwelling in your tent, if you see an individual who is wandering through the area where you are dwelling, you are to make yourself known to that individual because they are vulnerable. You're to make yourself known, and then you are to invite them into your tent, and you are to treat them as if they were your own family. So let me see that next picture. So you are to provide comfort for them. You are to provide for all of their needs while they are there. The rules of hospitality require for the Bedouins that you feed them the best food that you have. You give them clean clothing, and you provide for them a place to sleep that is comfortable and that is safe. And here's the real key of all of this for us. While that person is in your tent, they fall under your protection. You are responsible for their well-being, for their safety, and for their protection against all of the dangers that are there in the desert. Well, this is exactly what we see in Psalm 23, verse number 5. This is the picture that we see. Dr. Cindy Parker, who is with the Hebrew Bible Center, this is the way that she explains it. She said, this verse, Psalm 23:5, is a picture of God as head of household, the ultimate protector, saying, come in under my wings and protection, and I will safeguard you, and I will provide for you. Amen. We all go through times in the desert in our lives. We all go through seasons of valley times where it's a struggle in life. We all go through different times where we are engaged in battle with the enemy of our souls. But if we will let the Good Shepherd, if we will let Jesus the Good Shepherd take us by the hand and lead us, he will every day provide for us. And he will bring you under his protection. So why? That's the path I want to be on. I don't want to be on my own path. Why is it so hard for us to yield and to go on his path? When it's on his path, he will lead you into provision and he will protect you in all things. Amen. Never lose sight of the fact that the path the Lord is leading us on, never lose sight of the fact that that path is designed to bring you to a place of dwelling with him. Yeah. So the table that is set, the table that he has prepared for you in the wilderness, the table that he has prepared for you there in those times of struggle, the table that he has prepared for you in that inhospitable time and season, he's prepared that table so that you and I can daily learn to be with him and so that we can grow in the intimacy of our relationship with him. He's provided a table for us no matter what you are going through today, tomorrow, the next day. Let him lead you on the path. Let him lead you into the day that he has prepared for you instead of going my own way, instead of going my own route. So the table that was in the wilderness, that table that we see in Psalm 23, that's a picture of the Old Testament table of showbread, which was in the tabernacle, which was in the wilderness. It's a picture of that Old Testament table of showbread. Because in the tabernacle, there was a table that held the showbread, two stacks of six showbread. That showbread was there, and the showbread was there to be a constant reminder to the people of God's everlasting promises. The showbread was there to remind the people daily of his covenant promises, the covenant promises between God and his people. That's the whole purpose of it being there. And then the priests would come in every week. The priests would eat the showbread, and on the Sabbath, fresh showbread was brought in. Psalm 23, verse number 5, it points us to the table that he has prepared for us in the wilderness. It points us to that table that has the presence of God. It points us to that table that has the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. And you and I are invited every single day to eat at his table. So the author of Hebrews actually gives us a really tremendous vision of just how close the table of showbread is to the presence of God. Look at this from Hebrews chapter 9. This is Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinance of divine service in the earthly sanctuary. He's saying, I want you to take a look. I'm going to show you exactly what the earthly sanctuary looks like. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. See, when the priest would enter in to the tabernacle, they entered into that first part of the holy place. So that whole thing was called the holy place. But they entered into that first part, which is also called the sanctuary, and that is where the table of showbread is. So I want you to see an illustration of this. So if you're looking at home, so right in the center you can see that's the incense, there's the priest that's there. But right here at the bottom, this is the table of the showbread. Now, this is really very close to you. You can see the veil that's in the middle. So the priest had to enter in from the right-hand side through one veil. But the second veil, behind that second veil, here's the table of showbread. Behind that second veil, that is the Holy of Holies. That is the presence of God. Do not despise. Do not despise the days of walking in the wilderness. Don't despise those days. Those are the days of growth that lead us to the destination that God has for us, which is dwelling with him. So when you're out there and you feel like you're in the wilderness, you feel like you're out there isolated and alone, pause. Sit yourself down at the table that God has prepared for you. Partake in Jesus. And then learn how to enter into the throne room of God. Sit down, pause, sit down at the table that he has prepared for you with the bread of life, Jesus Christ, because he wants you to learn how to enter into his presence. And that illustration shows us just how close the showbread is to the presence of God. You've got Jesus Christ. We can eat the word of God. We can be in the presence with Jesus every single day. And going through those difficult times, those valley times, it shows us, it teaches us, it grows us so that we can learn to enter into his presence, to learn to enter into that throne room of God. And that's where he wants us to be. Now, I think part of the reason that I think it's really timely for us to be talking about Psalm 23 right now is because of the season that we are in as the church in general. Because the world itself, our culture, has turned away from God. Our culture has rejected the things of Jesus Christ, as evidenced by the fact that we need to have ministries like Keep Watch in our schools. society, they do not agree with your choice to live for Jesus Christ. Society does not agree that we should be living according to the standards of the Word of God. And this is why Jesus said, because the world hated me, they will hate you also. Now, we've known prophetically, we've already seen prophetically, it's going to get worse before it gets better. That means we are walking in the valley of the shadow of death right now. We're walking, and there's a great deal of lessons for us to learn from Psalm 23 as we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. So we're going to come back to Psalm 23 and David in just a moment. But I want you to see these things through the lens of the new covenant of Jesus Christ as well. Because God speaks to us through Peter, talking about some of these same things. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you." Peter is letting us know that there's going to be trials, there's going to be fiery ordeals that we have to face as believers in Jesus Christ. Those things are going to come. But he's also letting us know that part of walking in this fallen world is walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And so it should not come as a surprise to us at all. And notice that what Peter said. Peter here, when he's speaking about these trials, he called them fiery trials. Listen, if you were here last week, what does that sound like? We talked about those fiery serpents that are in the wilderness. And it's there that we learned of the comfort. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, Peter, what Peter is doing is reinforcing the fact that we are in his comfort, that we walk in his comfort even as we are walking through the valley days, even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. His comfort is there for us. And in Peter's verse, the comfort actually comes, we saw that last week, from the rod and the staff. Here in Peter's verse, the comfort comes from the very first word in that verse. Beloved. Beloved. The word beloved means to be divinely loved. Jesus is saying that even though you might walk through valley days, you walk in my love. You walk in the comfort and protection and covering of my love. The word beloved also means to be experiencing God's love. It's not just a concept. No, this is something that we experience on a daily basis, and we grow within it. We grow in that divine love. To experience his divine love is feeling and knowing, with a supernatural feeling and knowing, the presence of God. It is experiencing being in his presence. It's experiencing his love. Now, we also saw in that verse the word fiery. That word fiery, the Greek word that we read as fiery, actually means to refine. So do not despise the days of walking through the valleys. Don't despise those days. Because as we walk through them, if we get up every day and say, "Jesus, Good Shepherd, lead me into the day that you prepared for me." He's going to lead you in the day. He is going to provide for your care. He's also going to protect you. You are going to be walking in his divine love. And we are refined as we walk with him through those valley days. We're refined as we walk with him. Here's the comfort. Here's the love and the comfort that comes from being the beloved. The comfort that comes from being in his divine love. When we are walking through the wilderness, his divine love covers you and protects you. It overshadows you and it provides for all that you have. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said. In Isaiah chapter 4, verse number 6, Isaiah said, "And there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge, and for a shelter from the storm and the rain." When we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus is your refuge. He is your covering. He is your tabernacle. He is your refuge against all of the storms of life. Yes, in the valley, you are in the shadow of death. But the good news is, you as an individual, You are personally under the covering. You're under the shade. You're under the tabernacle of the Almighty. And He has prepared a table for you in that place. Just like that Bedouin tent that we saw before. He's prepared a table for you to meet all of your needs. It is a place of hospitality, and it is a place of protection that He has provided for you. Don't despise the days that we go through that are a struggle. Look at them as the opportunities to be refined. Look at it for the opportunities to learn to dwell in His presence, which is the destination of Psalm 23. So let's go back to Psalm 23 and David. David wrote Psalm 23 about God being a shepherd because David himself was a shepherd. There's a moment in David's life when God said to David, I have taken you from the sheepfold and made you the ruler of my people, Israel. This is what He said in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse number 7. Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep to be the ruler of my people, Israel. Notice in that verse, David went from being a shepherd who followed the sheep to all of a sudden becoming a ruler, a leader, a king who leads and does not follow. David, as the shepherd, followed the sheep. But as we've seen time and time again through these lessons, Jesus, the good shepherd, leads His sheep. John chapter 10, verse number 4. And when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. All of us are going to go through times of struggle in our lives. All of us are going to go through seasons in the valleys. We're all going to have those times. We're familiar with those times. But what we need to do is make sure that we allow Jesus to take us by the hand and lead us through that valley of the shadow of death, which He will, lead us through that valley to the place of blessings and to the place of victory on the other side. And when you get through that, the things that you learn, you are now prepared, you are now refined, and you are now ready to help grow other people and to lead them in through the valley into all the blessings and the victories that Jesus Christ has for us. It's with the prophecy that we heard this morning. It ties in with Tony, what Tony said. They did not know what I was going on. In fact, even the music, how many times, I think two of the songs we saw overshadowed. All of this is just letting us know that you're going to go through times. Don't despise those times. Rejoice and be happy because He has prepared a table for you right there in the wilderness. It's going to provide for your needs. It shows His hospitality and His love, and it is a promise of His protection. And you become stronger and you get to that destination of dwelling with Him, learning to press into the throne room of God and be in His presence. Now, I want to share something with you. It's a dream that I had. I told Ed this just last week. This is a dream that I had, not this past week, but I had it a week ago Thursday. So Thursday morning when I got up, I had this dream and I woke up. And I went and I wrote it down because I knew there was going to be relevant. I didn't know this soon. I knew it would be relevant to share with you. So before I tell you what the dream is, I want to set it up by telling you that I've probably had, I don't know, 6 or 7 different people in the last 6 months tell me, you know, Todd, at City on a Hill, most of the people who are there are over 50 years old. You know, we need some younger people at City on a Hill. Well, listen, we have, thank you, Jesus, for the young people we do have. Tony and Lauren there for me. Jeremy and Jessica and Tilly. Joshua and Kelsey. The Balm girls when they're here. Justina and Ryan. And I'm sure Brandon and Sam. Thank you, Jesus, for the young people that we do have here. But bear in mind now what I'm going to tell you. So this is the dream. So I had a dream that you, City on, I could see all this. I was like an observer. I could see you as City on a Hill, and you were sitting on an embankment. You were standing on an embankment over a riverbed. And all of a sudden, the river rose up, and it grabbed you. But it was a river that was water, and it was turbulent, but it was like a solid river, too. So the river picked you up and took you. You were not in the turbulence. It was like solid, so it picked you up, and you rode that river. And the river took you fast, and it took you far. And you went far beyond everybody else. And you were rushing down, and then I could see the strip of land that was at the end of the river. It hit the strip of land and branched off. And that river deposited you, City on a Hill. It deposited you on that island. And I got to see you. I was looking at you from behind. And all of you are facing the other way. And this is what I saw. Every single one of you is standing there with swords in your hands or spears in your hands. And I could see your backs and you were facing out. And you know the person that I saw with the tallest spear? Was Ralph. What is Ralph? Probably 90 years old? There was Ralph standing there in the center. His spear was the highest one. And you were all looking away, ready. What is this telling us? I've told you guys before. You are the vanguard. The vanguard is the part of the army that goes out before the rest of the army. And the vanguard, they're the ones that go, they face the enemy. They drive the enemy away. They stake their claim on that land and they possess that land until the rest of the body comes up. And then you are the vanguard once again. Now, listen. Thank you, Jesus, for the young people that we have. And there's a lot of young people that are a part of that vanguard. I'm not saying that they're not. But what I'm telling you is, I don't know how else to say it, but to just be honest with you, what I'm telling you is we, those of us who are more than 50 years old, we've not done a really good job of preparing the younger generation to know what it is to be out there on the battle lines and to face struggles that are there. I'm just talking about the church that is in general, okay? I'm talking about Toledo. I'm just talking about the church in general. There's a lot of young people that they will only go to church if it's comfortable and if it's entertaining. Listen, I've been in churches in Uruguay, as has Vonda. I've been in churches in Romania, and it's not comfortable to be there. You know, the article that I'm going to point out to you later on in a few minutes from the Baruch Papers. The article for this month is by a man named Isaac Smithia, and he's talking about a church that it was a struggle. It was hard. It wasn't comfortable. They did the work, and then before they could open it, it got wiped out, and you just feel like giving up. There are struggles. We need to train the younger generation to be strong. We need to show and demonstrate that it doesn't matter what the struggles are. We're the ones that are out front. We have the swords in hand, the spears. Our back is to everyone else because we are facing ahead to what Jesus has set before us. That is who you are as a city on a hill. See yourself there and on a daily basis. Okay, that was kind of good, but it really wasn't really enthusiastic saying that, yeah, and it's like, yeah, give me a sword. No, you are the vanguard. You have been prepared and trained. See yourselves there and give him praise for the fact that he has empowered you to be the vanguard. And it's an honor that he lets us be the vanguard. Amen? There is so much more that I have to show you, but we've actually gone a long time. So we're going to come back. We'll finish this. All that was just the first phrase of verse number 5. We'll finish this up next week because there's so much more that's there. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for all you are doing. We thank you for the things that you have called us to. We thank you for the opportunities you give us every day to just speak. You, as Tony said, you give us the opportunities where we just go into the day. All we have to do is be available. You will give us the opportunities and we will take advantage of them. I thank you and I praise you that you give us the opportunities to be that shield for others, that you prepare us. We will walk through those valley days and get stronger in you. We'll be refined and continue to be refined. We will continue to learn to be in your presence, to dwell with you. And as we do that, we will also just bring others in. We will grow them in as well. So we thank you and praise you for the day that we are living in today, for the days that are ahead that you've prepared for us. We thank you and praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's stand up and close in praise this morning.